Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I can't remember if I turned it on. Did I, Jeff? I did, okay. Psalm 139, I want to be an encouragement to you. I don't know if you know this or not, I think most of you do. It's been a very hard winter. We have lost siding and soffit and fascia, and we've had a cave in with our storage building over there. We've had things break, doors break, windows break because of the snow caving in. I got to say this for anybody who's listening to the radio from down below the bridge, and there's quite a few down there. When you look out your kitchen window and you got to stand on your toes to look out into the yard or see some sunlight coming in because the snow was that high up on your window, man, it's the UP. And it has been a hard winter in a lot of ways, but you got to thank God, because I heard yesterday, I got a daughter up in the Keweenaw, Calumet, Michigan, has had over 300 inches of snow. Now, that's not us, but we had a basketball game here on Thursday night, and the girls played Emmanuel, that's Owosso, Flint area, and the van driver pulled up to the parking lot here and put it in park, looked at everybody in the van and said, "Man, I'm glad we don't have this much snow in Michigan." He thought he went over that bridge. He must have been in another country, I guess. I don't know. But it's been hard. Things have been breaking. Things have been leaking. We've got leaky roofs. Everybody knows what that's about. It's back-breaking work, getting snow off of roofs, and emotions have gotten brittle, and spirits have gotten down, and maybe you've said some things you should not have said. Maybe you've been a little short-tempered with your mate. Perhaps you've done some things you know what we need to do at Fundamental Baptist Church? We need to have a little repentance this morning, a little confession of sins, on a personal basis, to our Savior, and ask God for a great spring. Nobody loves spring like a youper. I know that, and you know that. And if there's no joy in your Christianity, if there's no joy in your Christian walk, then you got a leak in your Christianity. Tonight's message is James in chapter 1. I'll give a little commercial here real quick. And it's how to be happy in a world of trouble. And it's kind of a review and covers the last five verses of the book, the first chapter of the book of James. It'll be encouraging to you, and it's meat. It's the meat of God's word, and it'll help you. It's very, very practical. Book of James, of course, written by oldest book in the New Testament and written by the pastor of Jerusalem, James, the half-brother of Jesus, by the way, who was martyred for his faith in Christ. He was either stoned or clubbed. History is a little bit foggy on it, but he paid a great price for his faith and being a preacher of the Word of God, and God bless him. There are several Jameses mentioned in the New Testament, but the writer of this book is the pastor of Jerusalem. The writer, and what problems he must have had. You think about that. First church, that initial church, day of Pentecost, 3,000 people born again, all kinds of backgrounds, 15 different languages, nationalities, and they're taking over the city. Within five chapters in the book of Acts, they've reached over 20,000 people in that church. Can you imagine the friction and the difficulties? And so they voted on some deacons, and the deacons waited on tables and kind of took care of that so that the leaders of the church could preach and teach the word of God. It's really a tremendous example to us. And isn't it interesting that the first letter, the first book of the New Testament, of the canon of Scripture, the oldest book in the New Testament, deals with trouble? Psalm 139, would you stand with me? I'd like to read just a little bit of it before I start to preach. Tonight we read one of the Psalms. Wintertime is a good time to study the Psalms and look to the Psalms, written by the sweet psalmist of Israel, called the Hymnal of the Old Testament, the book or the Psalms. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and again we ask for your blessing upon the services. Help this preacher who does a poor job preaching many times to ring the bell this morning concerning the Word of God. Lord, I have such a hard time putting it into words. We've got the written word. Help me just to preach it. And we pray your Holy Spirit would preach it and teach it in our lives. And God, we would be that people that honor you. Thank you, God, for being the God that you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. God is great. God is great. All of the time, God is great. He has never one time let me down. He has never one time let you down. I know it gets nasty in the world from time to time. And if you get sick and you get a little bit physically down, sometimes that impacts you spiritually. It really ought not to. You'll hear that tonight in the book of James. And I don't want to preach that message right now, but what I want to do is do the very best I can at explaining, at preaching the 139th Psalm. And I want you to have an understanding, number one, that God is great and there's nobody else like him. Buddha's in the grave. Muhammad is in the tomb. Jesus Christ, he's the only one that conquered death. He's the resurrected Savior. He's the Redeemer of all mankind. If we'll just come to him, repenting of our sin and receiving him as our personal Savior. We too can be born, and I trust you have been, born into the family of God. And if you've not been born into the family of God, come to Jesus this morning. Find him as your Savior this morning. It's not hard. Just repent of your sin and cry out from your heart and say, God, I need you. I need a redeemer. I can't do it on my own. I can't even come close to attaining. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, wretched man that I am, I need you to be my personal Savior. He'll forgive you and he'll be your Savior this morning if you'll just simply call out to him. We worship the ultimate God. First commandment of the Decalogue in Exodus in chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Monotheistic. Not many gods, not polytheistic, monotheistic. We worship Jehovah God. We worship the Creator, the Redeemer, Elohim, the one God. What a wonderful God we have. The I am that I am, as described in the book of Exodus. The all-sufficient one. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. The psalmist is going to get into that. He don't need you. He never needed me. But he wants me. He is the all-sufficient one. He doesn't need this earth. He doesn't need your shenanigans and my foolishness. He certainly doesn't need my sin and my black heart. But he redeemed me. What a Savior. What a God. You ponder that for a while in the winter of 2019. And you'll start thinking right again. First verse. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. My God, the God that I worship, because he is God and has character traits of deity, is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows it all. It is a fool's errand to live a life of a hypocrite. Because you're not fooling God. You're not hiding in a shadow, doing your own little personal thing without God knowing about it. You're not speaking a word except God already knows it. That's what the psalmist said. In our day of high-tech communication, what you put on Facebook, God already saw it. Man, it's bad enough it's out there for the world to see, but God saw it as well. We worship an omniscient God. He knows. He knows. Look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. He surrounds me. You talk about a security blanket. I am wrapped in the presence of God. There's nowhere I can go except God goes with me. I'm a born again child of God. I'm a sinner saved by grace and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And no matter where I go in life, God is with me. He's wrapped all over. He surrounded me, the scripture says. He's compassed my being. He goes before me. He's behind me. He's to the right of me. He's to the left of me. He's above. He's below. He's all around me. That's the God that I worship. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows me. He's all around me to protect me. He knows what I am. And he loves me. Only God. Verse 6 is a keystone verse in this psalm. The magnitude of God's love is beyond me. How he could love a sinner. He who is holy and right and pure and just. How he could love a sinner. Why? The magnitude of God's wisdom is beyond what I can comprehend. There's the frustration of being a preacher. You know, you stand up and you're to preach the word of God. And I do the best I can to rightly divide the word of truth. But to put it in prepositional phrases and put it in my own language and use nouns and verbs and somehow think that's going to... And I don't know why, but God says through the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. God says, preach the word of God. God says, in Titus, I've manifested myself through the preaching of God's word. And I think I hit on that last week. I want to say it again. Bible studies are great. They are great. You need to study the Word of God. But there's something about preaching. And everybody needs preaching. I listen to preaching all week long. I listen to other preachers, men that have already gone to heaven. I listen to recordings. I need to get preached to from time to time. I go to preachers' meetings so I can have somebody that hey, God has laid a passage of Scripture on his heart and he put it on his heart for me. I sit there and just, wah, and I'm always one of the first ones at the altar. It's just the way it is. We need preaching. And before I get away from that, we need prayer too. Please don't forsake prayer meeting. Please don't. You know, one of the reasons this winter has been so tough? People have stopped praying. Man, our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, this has got to be the boiler room right here. This is where it's at. This is where, you know, you feed yourself the rest of the week. Do your Bible studies all week long. That's wonderful. Coming here and preaching, that's wonderful. But we got to have prayer meeting. You can't, if we neglect prayers, man, it's just a lot of motion. We need more and more people gathered together on Wednesday night to corporately pray together for the ministry here. But we can't, don't ever lose sight of that. God's omniscient. God is everywhere. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, the psalmist says. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It's bigger than my brain. The psalmist was so in love with Jehovah God, so in love with Jesus Christ, so in love with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that he said, man, I can't comprehend it. It's too big. The same psalmist said in Psalm 8, this world isn't big enough for the glory of God. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The universe is the platform for God. And that's not big enough. Sometimes we sell God too short. I know you've had to move a lot of snow. Everybody has. I know your roof is leaking. Almost everybody's roof is leaking. Man, I know the battery's dead on the car. I know you work for hours one day, you get the snow moved, the next day you get out of bed and there it is again. I know that, and it takes a hardy, rugged kind of personality to live in the far north, to live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but there's always somebody that's got it worse. Calumet, Michigan. Those poor souls up there. They live in tunnels. I don't know if you know that or not. Let's go back to the psalm. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? The absolute blanket of the security of God. He is omnipresent. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What a great God we serve. If you end up with cancer, if you end up with some kind of life-threatening disease, if your whole family is wiped out in an automobile accident, if there's a tragic fire, no matter what happens, you're born again, you have God, and He's not forgotten you. And there's a great big eternity waiting for you. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. God will give unusual discernment and wisdom. James 1:5. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Nothing too hard for God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. I'm wrapped in the security of the presence of God and the goodness of God and the wisdom of God. I don't have to understand everything. God does. I don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. I don't have to know, you know, the future. God does. That's the God that I worship. Don't live the life, don't be someone who is born again and then live the practical life of an atheist and do all your own things. Man, don't do that. Don't get born again, forgiven, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then step back and live like you're a child of the world and do your own thing and elbow people along the way and get everything you want and carry your own burdens. Man, don't do that. Not as a child of God. That's childish. That is childish. Follow the good shepherd. Amen. Take my yoke upon you, he says, for it's light. It's easy. Psalm 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I'm going to read these next couple of verses. God knew you before you were born. God knew me before I was even born. When he was hanging on Calvary's tree for 6 hours, suspended between heaven and earth, the sun goes black. When he was hanging there on the cross, he knew you. And he knew me. Way back, way forward into the future, 2,100 years. He knew Tim Rader was going to be born and live in Chippewa County and be raised in Chippewa County. And he died for me and he died for you. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. Oh, before I get into abortion, I got to hit it real quick. But before I do that, you know this. God knew who you were before you were ever born. Nothing has happened that just happenstance. That's right. Nothing surprises God. He's the omniscient one. He's not fatalistic. He didn't create robots. He gave you a free will. He gave Adam a free will. You can choose Christ and get born again, but he, because he's God, he did know who was going to choose him, but he gives you an absolute free will, and your life is not an accident. No matter how you came into this world, your life is not an accident. God knows you, and yet he loves you. My substance was not hid from thee. Verse 15. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that's a metaphor for the mother's body. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. This post-birth abortion conversation is not only gruesome, it's an abomination. It's infanticide. All abortion is infanticide. The moment conception takes place, before my parts, my substance was, when I was yet unperfect, the moment of conception, there's a new soul. That's procreation. That's how God designed it. Post-birth abortion, abortion at any time during the nine-month period, is murder. 19%, almost 2 out of 10 live births in America are aborted. You don't think we're a wicked nation? For every 1,000 live births in New York, there are 500 abortions. God must look down from heaven. And God says, you take care of the children. God must look down from heaven. It's got to be heartbreaking. What is my creation doing? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God loves me. Knows the number of hairs on my head, the scripture says. Psalm 91 and verse 14 says, this is a simple thought, and it's profound in itself. Psalm 91, 14. God knows my name. God knows your name. Man, you're in the blanket. You're born again. You're in the blanket of God's security. The psalmist said, this is too good for me to even understand. You're all around me. You're before me. You're behind me. You're above me. You're below me. You're all around me. What a God. This is the magnitude of your love is beyond my thinking. The magnitude of your wisdom is bigger than I can ever attain. And then the fact that he knows me, verses 13 through 16, that's what a wonderful thought that is. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. By the way, if you ever stop hating the deeds of darkness, you're one step away from believing the doctrine of darkness. You never hate the sinner, but you hate the sin. If you ever stop hating the deeds of darkness, you're one step away from believing the doctrines of darkness. Yesterday, stopped at the wrestling match on the way down to the basketball game. It was kind of a busy day. One of the men here said, you're not going to believe what I just saw. We were down in Sheboygan. 2 sixth grade boys walking down the hallways holding hands. Not in an innocent way. It is a wicked world we live in, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Never stop hating sin. Love the sinner, but never stop hating sin. The psalmist said, man, you bloody men, get away from me. I separate, for they speak against thee wickedly. Thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? The culture ought to bother you. The sin of the world, our own sin as well, ought to really bother you. It ought to cause you to have some sleepless nights. It is on a downhill slide. I have never seen things change as quickly as it has changed, but it's picking up momentum every month that goes by. Verse 22 says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. What the psalmist is saying is, I want to be on God's side. I don't want to be on that side. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is important. You got to realize this. The psalmist realized this. I haven't arrived. I'm not everything I'm supposed to be. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not everything I'm supposed to be. Even King David said, man, search me, God. Search me on a regular basis. Know my heart. Try me. Because there's sometimes I'll sweep my own personal sin under the rug and not even recognize it unless your Holy Spirit is there with the Word of God tapping me on the shoulder and say, hey, that's wrong. That's sin. Don't play the part of the hypocrite. It's a fool's errand. It's amazing grace that God puts up with us. It really is. You know, we needed Fundamental Baptist Church after this year of 2019. And it's been tough, man. It's been hard for people to get to church. It's been, you know, we had a storm last Sunday. You know, we had a blizzard. And it doesn't take much for some people to stay away. But you know what just shocked me? The number of old people that were able to make it out, you know. But, and I understand that, you know, in every locale, we got people that come from a long ways away, and every locale is different, and blizzards are blizzards, and the Upper Peninsula, it's just a rough way of life. And again, you got to be a hardy soul, but serve God. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Let's have some repentance. What about your heart? Say, Pastor, I found myself saying some things I shouldn't have said. Confess your sins. Let God bless you again. Our God's omniscient. Our God is omnipotent. And He knows me. And He still loves me. And I haven't arrived. That's the beauty of this pilgrimage. Our destination, the gates of heaven. And we're bound for it. That's where we're going. If you're born again. If God were like me, and God is not like me, He'd be impatient. He'd be unforgiving. He'd be weak. But I worship Jehovah. His name is Jesus. There's a reason to lift up your head. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon what has been preached tonight. We're grateful that you're our God. We couldn't make it without you. We understand that. We know that. And Lord, everything that's good that's been in our lives, and we have many good things happen to us, we know it's by your hand. We give you glory. God, help us to share it with other people so that they will understand how good you are. This week, use your people. Dismiss us with your blessing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.